This is Silly with the Lulligans. This is Mitch. Matthew Bird.
All right.
Bradley.
Hello.
No guests tonight because we got things to talk about.
We really don't have a whole lot to talk about.
We got a
winning
win to talk about.
Winning!
That's
winning!
The best thing ever to talk about,
Bradley. The good news is that Jeremy came on and then we had a win, so he won't like say I can't come back on the podcast the rest of the year because we lost after the last time I was on.
How great is it to have Jeremy on the podcast where he's not
getting hammered
essentially. Yeah. And it was a really nice way to spend an evening.
There wasn't like that negative tone to all the questions.
Let's be honest, the last time he was on the pod, we were not looking forward to it all day.
No.
He wasn't either. No. We weren't. None of us were. But it was a nice, calm chat. There was no intensity to it.
It was like we were the loan sharks who were friends with the guy we had to rough up. You know?
I always
Jeremy, I love you, but I'm going to have to break your knees for the next hour.
You know, when he and Pat or, you know, Tom came on last year, you know, all those guys were gracious enough to come on during a troubling time.
Yeah.
And we'd have to just basically beat up on them for a while. I was kind of like, oh, so this is what it's like to not beat up on the GM for a while.
Yeah, I mean, things are going pretty well. Galaxy 2 the other night, it was only a 1-0 win.
It should have been 6.
And I guess that would be the one negative, if there is one. We created so many chances and just didn't put them away. And there was a time in that game where it was like, oh my God, Galaxy could just fluke a goal here. And, you know, we wouldn't be rewarded for all the work
there was the thought that crossed my mind around 35, 40 minutes in where I actually tweeted, I hope we don't live to rue all these chances.
Yeah.
And thankfully we didn't. I did watch some of the Galaxy 2 Phoenix game and they look pretty good against Phoenix. Phoenix aren't a bad side. And I was like, it's not going to be the walkover I thought it was going to be, but we played well.
Yeah, and I think defensively we played well, too. It wasn't just that we were kept pushing forward. We held our shape better. I mean, we're having fewer and fewer of those big breakdowns that happen.
Was it you that just all of a sudden burst out during the middle of the game? Look at the triangle passes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pure formation.
Well,
just
I mean, you
drive.
Could see it happening out there. You know, as soon as they got ball, you knew where he was going to move it because there was a guy open. They're getting to know each other. They're getting to know what spaces to put themselves in. I mean,
aside from Galaxy having a blob of a shot off the crossbar that was going to fluke its way, and they really didn't offer much. And I never felt the result was in doubt once Kalisto got his goal.
Yeah.
There were some moments where they managed to counter a little bit and spent some time. And when the stats came out, I was surprised because the stats didn't reflect the feeling of the game. The stats were only like, you know, 60-40 possession and stuff like that.
Yeah, I thought we had more possession than the stats showed.
Yeah, I was like, no, we dominated that game for most of the game.
But I think it's also what you do with that possession.
Yeah, they controlled it, they built it, and they shot it, and then the other team would get possession rather than just holding it for no reason. I forget. I think it was Barden that talked about that, you know. The amount of chances created, the amount of shots taken, and people can hem and haw about, you know, they should put those away, and they should.
But I tell you what, though.
But it's getting there.
I watched it yesterday and today, and going through it, you know, Austin Martz had an amazing opportunity that literally was just...
Yeah.
If it was more than 6 inches wide, I would have been stunned. And there was probably about 7 or 8 of those moments where it was...
Bolesky hit the post early.
Yeah. Kalistri went wide early on, too, as well, by about 2 feet, which was, on a diagonal shot, that's a lot closer than it sounds. There was just a lot of opportunities that it just didn't fall, and that's what scared me. But the other side was
they kept creating them.
Yes, there was no stopping.
Every time we went forward, we looked dangerous.
Yeah. Every time.
Every time. And I've not felt that since Herrera played against Tulsa.
And yeah. I thought the wing play was much better this game. Martz was chasing them down. I mean, Barden and Martz had a good relationship there.
Very good.
And it was coming over into the middle. I mean, they were creating some things. So
I've got to say, for me, I think we look a better team when Kalisha's on the field.
I know
he scored, so he's got that. He's got the halo on top of his head right now. But even during the preseason, it impressed me. And he wasn't starting a couple of games, and you don't know what happens in training. But for me, I was really, really impressed with him again.
That's the other thing to mention about this. You know, let's say four starters were out. Mm-hmm. Tony Wall's still out. Wall Fall was out. Kyle Gregg and Corey Hertzog were all out. So that, again, going into the game, I was a little nervous about, you know, what was going on. But I think this is the team that Ant has created, where there are, you can mix and match pieces and you really don't drop off too much in quality. I mean, you know, Valesky to me is a starter in this league, and we're talking about him having to come off the bench and start. That's not a problem.
Correct.
And let's be honest too, man of the match bucket for a reason. His pressure,
I said to you, it was like the Valesky of old, like the first couple of games last year, where he's pushing the goalie. He's chasing that ball down to make the goalie make a play on it.
And making himself available for crosses and opportunities.
Rebounds, yeah.
Well, he also wants to make Corey and Kyle need to fight to get the plays back.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to just open the door and let them waltz back in.
Well, yeah, and it's going to be hard because the work that he put in Saturday, he showed he is a starter. He showed he is ready for that.
I think in Corey, Kyle, and Gregg, we have three starting forwards. And, I mean, it will help coming up now with the Open Cup in a couple of weeks here, you know, where you got to rotate some more guys in, some more bodies in. I think we'll be thankful that we have all three of them this year.
And along those lines, too, I thought Kvita had a great game.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
That was his first official start, I believe.
Correct.
We knew he started this season with a little injury. But, yeah, it was just solid back there. And, yeah, never caused me any heart palpitations.
Well, he's a big boy.
Yes, he is. I didn't realize how big he was. And it's not necessarily height, but those shoulders are broad. does not give up a battle or space.
It looks solid. It looks like if you hit him, you know you've been hit.
Yes. Yeah. And he just – it was great to see him just slot in and not miss a beat as if he's been in the lineup the whole time. I mean, there was no drop-off. There was no learning curve. It was pop and go.
And keep we talking about the defense now. Another clean sheet for Jake. And that's got to be the world of good for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing when we talked about it last week. You know, if we're not creating three or four goals, he's got to be perfect, and he was today, you know, Saturday night. So.
Yeah, he didn't see as much, but there were some. They had a couple good bouncing screamers that, you know, a wrong skip or something like that on that turf.
He came out a couple times on corners and grabbed it, you know, with authority, which is, you know, always scary for me. but he handled it, and it was really
and his
really
his celebration when Joey scored was superb.
Yeah,
and he went berserk.
He was excited,
and Ewan had to know his number. He needed to be ready.
But we've now conceded less than a goal a game. And anytime you've got that kind of an average, you're in with a chance of winning games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's Jake's second clean sheet.
Correct.
This year.
We played five. We've only conceded four. And any chance you get that goals against average like that, you've got a chance. And that's what we're going to need in this league. This league is full of good teams. You know, you look at what OC Blue, Orange County went to San Antonio and did.
Orange County's a good team.
They're a really good team. And, you know, there's some good teams we're going to play, and we're going to need to be really, really solid at the back.
Kalisri, we mentioned, was the goal scorer. He also made the USL's Team of the Week this week. I agree. I like him out there. But
That we have four guys that I can't pick one. You know what I mean? Like,
Lewis Hilton quietly.
Oh,
I mean, there were several times that I elbowed you and said, look at that. I mean, Lewis just confidently on that ball, not bothered at all. Doesn't matter if there's two or three guys on him. He just handles the business.
And I noticed he was taking a lot of the free kicks too, which he reads very well. Like, he saw the different patterns and paths. And like, there was one free kick. It was on the far side. I think it was in the first half, where he came up, somebody else was going to take it. He kind of waved him off.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he just, on you know, as soon as he waved him off, just fired this drive right to the box where I think it was Kalistri was coming in, and it ended up kicking it wide or high or whatever it was. But it was just one of those things where it's like, holy shit, I didn't even see it develop, and he was on top of it.
Lots of very quick play. The play is much quicker than it was last year.
Speaking of which, how about that cheeky corner?
Yeah.
Where Culbertson put it down, touched it.
Yeah, and looked like he was walking off to let Martz come take it.
Yeah, and Martz just dribbled up with it and ended up not turning into anything, but totally caught them off guard. You can't do that too often. But
yeah.
That's a nice little touch to get in there where nobody saw it coming.
Another cold night. There was only 4,000 people there.
Shit, was it cold?
But
that wind.
But yeah, we're going to go on record and say, okay, spring is here now. The next game is May 5th. It's going to be nice and warm.
I hope so, because this is what, the 140th day of January now?
Yeah, something crazy.
But you know what? If we go to OKC this weekend and get something, and then go to Swope and get something, we're in contention, guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this team does deserve a 5,500 capacity attendance. I mean,
we've talked about it before. I think they've turned some people off the last few years with uninspired play, shall we say. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a few games to get them back. But, yeah, you start to put wins together and people will come back.
And I think people are slowly but surely coming back. Like, we saw a handful more families, I thought, this week than we had the previous games. And you know, little by little, again, the weather, I think, was got awful, and you can't do anything about that. But I think it's starting to come around.
Let's talk about another thing that happened at the game. Charity du jour.
Mm-hmm.
It's going really well this year, guys.
Oh, my God.
We collected $895 last weekend for Meals on Wheels, St. Louis. Kirkwood Station's donations have definitely improved the overall take on Charity du jour.
I think that was like $200 from those guys alone.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for donating. Right now, we're up
Thank you for drinking beer.
Yeah. Right now, we're up to $13,794 on the season.
That is ridiculous.
That's after three home games and a preseason. So, we may have to adjust our goal. We may have to aim for $25,000 instead of $20,000.
So, are we going to count the soccer balls as part of this?
No, let's talk about that. I think that'll just be a special extra thing. For those that don't know, there's a family in St. Louis, the Ohlers, and Will is a senior, I believe, at Lindbergh High. He's a soccer player. His family are season ticket members.
He's a goalie.
He's battling leukemia right now. And we did make a wish the previous week as our charity du jour, and he was supposed to come out with his family, but he couldn't because he was back in the hospital fighting this terrible disease.
The chemo is evidently really rough.
Yeah, he's having some bad reactions to that. I know the team went out and saw him one day, took a St. Louis FC jersey. We have a St. Luligans jersey that we're trying to get to him. But his mom sent me a message on Sunday, I believe it was.
It was.
Saying that his one-year cancer anniversary is coming up on May 18th. And he really wants to collect 100 soccer balls to give to other kids who are going through cancer. Just as, because soccer is something that means so much to him, that's brought him so much joy.
And who doesn't want a new ball?
And it's kind of kept him going through all of this, the thought of playing soccer again. And he wants to give soccer balls to kids who are going through this just so they can play. And we're talking little kids all the way up to, you know, young adults. So she just asked if we could help with that.
Well, didn't she actually just ask if we could share it? Not even like necessarily get involved, but share it out.
Just get some balls for them. You know, she didn't really have any grand plan. Just wanted. She said, "I know you guys do so much with Charity du jour. Is there any way you could help with this?" And you know, we put out a tweet and we put out a Facebook post, and the response has been amazing.
Well, first off, just the internal response of just Luligans.
Yeah, the members. There's an Amazon wish list, so you can just go and you can buy a ball and have it sent directly to their house. So I put that in sort of out to the general populace,
which makes it incredibly easy to do, especially, you know,
there's some balls on there that are like $15.
Yeah. You know. Highest 30. I think the highest is like 30.
Yeah. But then we also decided we're going to do a collection at the next game. Just bring a new soccer ball to the tailgate and we'll make sure it gets to, Will. But some of the people that have responded, I mean, Mike McGee, you know
the
him.
Greatest one-day player in St. Louis FC
exactly.
history.
Exactly. He played.
Oh, no, Alex Riggs. That's he was the goalie when we beat Louisville.
But Mike McGee reached out. The Chicago Fire have reached out. Obviously, St. Louis FC is getting involved.
Quincy
University has pledged 50 balls, which is crazy. St. Louis Scott Gallagher and St. Louis FC have pledged 25 balls.
Missouri Youth Soccer Association today
announced they're giving 100 balls.
That is ridiculous.
So,
the announcer is working with Select, official ball of the team.
If you give me a second, they're going to donate 35 soccer balls plus 10 minis for the little kids that maybe can't kick the soccer ball yet, but just the little mini balls they can hold and roll and stuff. And they're going to do something else to be announced in the future. I mean, it's just crazy. So
there's a good chance that
obviously we've already beaten the 100 balls
just from the big donations. Yeah. We've beaten 100.
So we're gonna just flood the Oilers with balls.
I'd like to. That sounds terrible.
No, I didn't mean it that way.
I'd like to see it hit 500.
Yeah,
I think that's reasonable at this point in time. Or 250, I think we're already past 250 personally.
Yeah, the other thing, Soccer Master's having their big 20% off sale this week. Soccer Master works with us all the time, so just stop by your local Soccer Master. Just buy the cheapest ball they have for 20% off.
And they've got a significant selection of inexpensive balls.
Yeah, so or go to Target, go to Walmart. I mean, these don't have to be premier quality balls. We're just talking basic soccer balls for kids to play with on the playground.
Get
in the
some
yard.
Fun colored ones. You know,
yeah, do whatever you want.
Whatever. There's such an opportunity here. And if you can't make it out, do the Amazon thing. I'm on Amazon all the time to begin with.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem. It's like, oh, I can just click and be done. But that's it. You can click, be done. And it goes to their house.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so easy. It's like, okay, I'll send that one and that one. Go, done. And I got a message today saying it was delivered.
There you go.
So I'm sure that was Sunday. You know,
I have this vision in my head of, you know how, Matt, you were talking about your house with all the baby stuff everywhere?
Yes.
I have a picture of Will coming home from the hospital or coming back from a chemo treatment.
And like the dining room is just
full of soccer balls.
Yeah, like floor to ceiling soccer
balls.
Like
they have to move them to go into the kitchen or they have to move them to go up the steps or whatever.
I imagine like the dining room in the front of a house, like a two-story or something like that. And they have to put up like a doggy gate to keep all the balls from falling out into the hallway.
The other thing I imagined was the UPS driver.
Oh, he's going to hate us.
He's just like, son of a bitch. I got to deliver 85 balls
Can you think about the poor recycling guys showing up with all those Amazon boxes?
And the first day, he's like, okay, whatever. And it's like the second day, third day, fourth day.
In that order, I probably should have included a box cutter for them because they're going to just be cutting up boxes for days.
So if you want to get involved with that, again, I'll be posting it out the next couple of weeks, the Amazon wish list. And if you want, you can just bring a ball to Soccer Park on the 5th down to the tailgate. Or really just, I mean, if you know another Luligan, just tell them, you know, offer to accept balls at your house from your neighbors or your coworkers. And let's just really, really make this silly.
I shared it out and within minutes, I had three friends say, done.
Yeah.
And these are people that aren't soccer fans that don't really get into this kind of stuff.
It's just one of those feel good stories. It's easy to do. And what I'm so impressed with is,
Derek was telling me this afternoon, Oklahoma City, the energy players.
Yeah, the energy is going to do something new. Yeah. Austin Martz is going to get involved and do some things. But what amazes me is this kid is really, he's going through the worst thing anybody can go through personally.
And the family.
And the family.
I mean, I can't imagine.
And his first thought was, I want to do something for other kids going through this. And, you know, he didn't, you know, wish for, hey, I'd really like a brand new, you know, Camaro.
I don't, I want to go to, you know, New York and see the Red Bulls play.
Right. He wished for something to help other kids get through this thing. So it's the least we can do. And we're very, very happy they reached out to us, very happy that we can help and that we have a platform which, through Charity Du Jour and through, you know, all the seasons of us doing this, we've got an audience that can help get the word out and help them collect some more balls.
And we've said it before.
And everybody who's taken the ball and run with it.
Yeah.
You know,
everybody just, hey, I'm going to tweet this guy and say, hey, can you do that?
Right.
You know, I've said it before. We have an incredibly generous group. I mean, we really do, all things considered. We've got our issues. We've got our fun. We are drunks, whatever. But, you know, Charity Du Jour, how many times do you just see somebody walk up, throw a $5 bill in and walk away? and you don't know who they are. You've never seen them before, but they just shove $5 in.
And they're not doing it for the sticker or for the keg cup.
No, they're just making a tossing donation. $5 in and walking away. And you see this kind of stuff. And then I got cards from the Colon Cancer Alliance this week for our donation. I forget what it was, $1,200, something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That was 2 weeks ago.
I know, but I scanned it and shared it out. There's a thank you directly from the CEO, a handwritten thank you, not a typed one, not some shenanigans, you know.
Yeah. Form not the letter. Form letter, yeah.
A handwritten thank you. And then today, got a second card signed by our representative that I deal with, the guy she works with, a couple other people in the office. Handwritten thank yous in there for what we've done as well. I mean,
yeah, and that's
we make
the thing
a difference.
With a lot of these groups, I mean, some of them we do get a form letter from, but from a lot of them, especially the local ones,
Spensa and
Haven of Grace,
Three Little Birds,
the food bank, you know,
these
guys are so appreciative of what we do. So
please keep this up. This is something, you know, it's great when we're winning on and off the field now.
Well, people are much happier to give money when we're winning.
I think that's the other part too.
Just to mention the next game, 5-5, May 5th, we're going to do Autism Speaks as our charity du jour where you give money, and this is a very important one to all of us. So in addition to bringing a soccer ball, bring a couple singles to throw in the bucket for Autism Speaks next home game.
Let's keep this up. I'd like to see every donation be over $600.
It's pretty cool. Other things from that game, we've got new t-shirts. So
they are awesome.
Ryan Malashek from Adrenaline Prince put Jimmy's design on a new navy blue shirt.
They look phenomenal.
Pretty cool. $20. Come by and get one at the next tailgate.
And it's the Hanes Beefy shirt, which is kind of the in between the two shirts that we've done. I think this is probably our new standard shirt because everybody likes them.
It's soft, but it's a little... It's not too heavy.
Right.
Yeah, I find the Gildan heavy shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other ones, the American Apparel, are too thin and small. Like, they don't size the same.
Not good for big people.
I like the American Apparel, but I find...
That's because you lost 100 pounds.
No, but I find that the transfers come off easier.
Yes. Yeah. It's just a different material.
Yeah.
It's not... That's why I love the
hands. And they shrink a little bit, too.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to mention... I forgot. Oh, we're going to do, we've still got this podcast scarves. We've still got the brand new 2018 Luligan scarves.
We ran out of them at the tailgate.
Yeah, we do have
more. Another case. There's a case in the garage.
We will be bringing them. But we've also got some old 2016 and 2017 scarves. I think next week we'll do next home game, that's the 5th, we'll do for charity du jour for Autism Speaks. We'll do a sale on those. So
that's a good idea.
Just to get rid of some old ones. And if you maybe new this year and you didn't realize we have some older scarves available, you can get a souvenir and say you were there back then and no one will be able to tell any different.
Until they start asking you about
it. Or maybe you've spilled beer or lost your scarf from previous years. We can do a replacement. And we'll do sale. We'll do $10 on those.
How about we do 2 for $20?
Or 2 for $20.
That's $10.
That's the idea. Shut up. I was trying to make it sound like it was a better deal.
But those will go straight to Charity du Jour because they're all paid for. And
I like that idea.
We'll just raise a little bit more money for Autism Speaks.
That's a good idea.
Next time. Coming up, we got road trips. We got Oklahoma City this weekend. And Swope Park next weekend, which is really Shawnee Mission. But maybe not even that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Oklahoma City. Matt, you still going?
Well, you know, I was looking at the weather forecast and they're talking about thunderstorms down there Saturday, and I don't really want to drive 8 hours for the game to be called off because of a thunderstorm. So it's going to be a really game time decision.
Might also be the wife saying, you know, you're not going anywhere.
I'm using the excuse that I still need to have you in time.
Yeah.
So I still need to make an effort to be a good father to my firstborn.
Yep.
And he can't be feeling left out because all the attention is on the second and third born.
That's a good point.
So Ewan's coming to Kirkwood Station Saturday if it rains.
So it's a game time decision, though. I really have no desire to drive 7.5 hours there and back. if the game's going to be called off.
I had thought about it, but I just can't make that trip. So as mentioned, Mitch mentioned, we will be having our watch party at Kirkwood Station, as always.
Our incredible partners at Kirkwood Station.
But there are a few people that are going. I'm sure the Gottmans will go
because
they're such big fans of Rich's.
Dan and Emily Doak are going.
Yep.
I bet Mama Fink goes down there.
I bet Bramlett goes because he should move to Oklahoma anyway.
Because he would rather be in Oklahoma, all things considered.
But
so, yeah, there'll be a good little crowd there.
It's a good time. If you're thinking about going, seriously, they tailgate behind the middle school next
to changed where they tailgate.
Do they? Well, you shouldn't really be drinking on school grounds, let's be honest.
Well, North End United, which is sort of an umbrella group for all their supporters groups that sit up there, they're going to reach out and let me know what the new tailgate plan is, and we'll be tweeting that out so you guys know. But they have invited us to, you know, get together, and
they're great to hang out with.
Yeah,
when we went down 2 years ago, they were great guys.
Before we actually met them in person, we thought the Grid were assholes online.
To be fair, they had the Gridler.
Yeah, well, and a lot.
To be fair, I did poke the bear.
And a lot of us, are assholes online.
Yeah, I did poke the bear.
That bird.
But in person, very great, very nice people.
And it was nice because we actually, when me, Landon, and Malia went down there, we won.
Yeah.
So. You know.
And you didn't park in the Walgreens parking lot, did you?
Correct. So it was a good time. And even when we went down, as you say, 2 years ago, and it was a 2-2 draw.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was a good time. It was a good game. It was a good time.
And other than being underneath the loudspeaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was dross.
Other than Matt Gibbs passing out before we got in.
Oh, you guys got off.
No, he boot and rallied, though. He made it.
Yeah, he did.
You guys getting off that, those little buses.
Yeah.
You look like Syrian refugees looking for shelter.
Yeah. Timely reference.
So anyway, next week, Oklahoma City. I'm having problems. I'm caught in cords. Mm-hmm. Just going to give up. But Kirkwood Station watch party if you don't make the trip to Oklahoma City. Then, the next weekend, Swope Park Rangers.
I am going to that.
Yes.
Yes, I'm going to be in your back seat.
That's fine. That's fine. It might be time.
I'll be in charge of giving you and his donut.
We will be switching out the car seats and taking the van.
Yeah. Going to be a fun trip. We're still up in the air on... Oh, no. We do have a place to pregame.
We do.
They play at a high school, so there's no drinking...
On campus.
On campus or tailgating, but...
I want to give a shout out to Rodrigo, the ticket rep, who's done a great job of keeping us informed of what's going on and stuff like that. Provided us with a ticket link. We should post that publicly.
Yeah.
The other thing he's done is said, hey, you know, we realize there's no tailgating. We have a partnership here with the Fox and Hound, which is literally less than a mile away. I mean, it's too far to walk or stumble, but it's close enough that it'll be a nice little jaunt right across the road.
Yeah, it's when you pull up Google Maps, there you can see them both in the same little frame. So.
Yes, exactly. And I go there for, it's funny because this whole area is where I stay when I go to Kansas City for work. A lot of good restaurants nearby. And Fox and Hound has a nice area for like pool tables and stuff like that. I imagine we'll pretty much take over the pool table area because it's a big wide open space. And meet the decent supporters of Swope.
Yes.
So
you made me laugh. But here's the thing.
We're hoping the game happens.
This last week their game was postponed.
Against Seattle, I believe.
No. OKC.
They played against Seattle the week before, and evidently Seattle raised some concerns about the field being up to standards. Now mm-hmm. we know they moved from Swope Park last year to this new place because Swope Park did not meet D2 standards.
Seating.
Just because of seating. The field was fine, but the seating, they didn't have enough seating. They moved to Shawnee Mission High School. I think it's Shawnee Mission South.
It's Shawnee South, yeah.
But evidently, that field's not big enough.
And Shawnee is a big school district.
I'm thinking like Parkway.
Yeah,
they have Parkway South, Parkway West.
Or Rockwood or you know, Francis Howell, the bigger school districts in the area.
Multiple campuses.
Yeah.
Big campuses.
Yeah. And this is a nice field, nice stadium. I mean, But evidently, it's not wide enough.
Yeah.
It's rather small. Evidently.
Which, again, for those of you who wanted soccer MLS stadium in the dome, not wide enough.
What? No. They can cut off the roof.
That's right. But we don't know if USL is going to issue some sort of waiver to let them go play back there to Swope. Or let them go back to Swope, which I think would be probably ideal because they never achieved the full capacity. It wasn't they were didn't have enough seats for people. They just didn't have enough seats for the D2 requirement.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. And as Rodrigo and I were talking about it, it's like, you know, somebody approved this.
Right.
So, I mean, I hate to say it this way. I don't think it's on, as much as I'd like it to be on Kansas City, it's not really on them because they said, okay, we'd like to play here. And USL said, okay. And now it's not good enough. It's like, well, you approved it. You need to live with it.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that. It looks like...
This to me goes back to why arbitrary divisional standards are ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, no.
If you're good enough... The Swope have been Western Conference champions for the last 2 years. If you're good enough on the pitch at Swope, you're right. Good enough on the pitch at Swope.
I agree.
It's a nonsense.
I agree. I mean, I think ideally they want teams to invest so that fans come out and watch the game. So,
but it's still a two-team.
But what does it matter if there's 5,000 seats in Toronto if only 100 people are there?
Totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, they'd be better served being in a smaller stadium.
And when we start people saying, you know, all the MLS two teams should go down, Swope isn't one of the ones that I beat the drum about because they've earned their place.
Yes.
They're more than doing it on the field.
Right. Agreed.
Same with Red Bull. I mean, Red Bull only gets 100 fans, but Red Bull puts out a good team.
Yeah. And you can look at the same with the hybrid teams.
Yeah.
Where if they've got the support, if they've got the standing, okay.
I think the USL should be encouraging those teams that if they're going to stay, they need to put some money into it and market it. And I think we've talked about it before, moving it out of the main market opens it up to a new audience.
Like we're Tacoma.
Right. Because, I mean, if you've said it before, Matt, if you've got tickets in Kansas City for sporting and you've also got tickets to the B team, the A team's going to take precedent.
Well, what I've said is if you've only got $20 disposable right. entertainment right. dollar, you what you're going to do? You're going to go to the main team.
Yeah. If you've gone to three weeks in a row and then the main team goes out of town, you're going to take a week off instead of going to the B team.
Correct.
I mean, average fan.
There's only so many wife points.
Right.
You'll be allowed to go out.
Right.
And let's be honest, too, if the two team is playing at a high school stadium where you can't drink, that's going to stop a lot of people from going.
I mean, unfortunately, it does make a difference. I mean, all these things go into the atmosphere at the game.
I mean, it's not that drinking is the be-all, end-all of enjoying sports. No, but
it's part of, I want to go out and have a beer with my friends and watch the game.
And you can't. You can't. The only way you can bring a beer in there is in your stomach.
And let's be honest, some of the games last year, we needed beer. I mean, you know. But, so, okay, that game is 2 weeks away. Hopefully by then, there will be some official resolution.
They should play it at Columbia College. Make my drive home a damn sight.
Yeah,
easy.
Well, and I mean, you know, some people are saying, well, they should just move it to Sporting Park. That's not cheap to open that up, you know.
Oh, that was immediately Rodrigo's response was, yeah. You know, I said, oh, they're, you know, and he goes, you don't even want to know what it costs to open it up to staff, the bare yeah. minimum staffing
right.
of security and attendance and, you know, a bathroom and maintenance.
But they are going to have to find a long-term solution because we can't just say, well, we've got Swope this week. We don't know if we're playing or not every week. I mean, it's ridiculous.
One season, go back to Swope, call it a day.
Well, yeah.
You know what? Nazzle's not coming back to take your D2 away.
Right.
Just put it at Swope.
So, anyway, we will know for sure, but we will post a link for tickets, and we will post information about Fox and Hound and all that good stuff, and that's for the game in 2 weeks.
Six points. We're going to go away on the road for 2 weeks. 6 points. This team can get it.
Boy, that would be nice.
This team can get it, guys. I swear to God, if we play like we've played in the last three games, we are going to be very difficult to beat. And it's not often I've been able to say this. I'm very, very encouraged by what I've seen, guys.
Yeah.
No, I cannot argue. I mean, everything is clicking.
And you know this podcast. I say it continually, the worse we are, the better this podcast is. But it's nice to come on here and say, good win on Saturday, guys. Let's keep rolling. And I want these players to know that we're gunning for them. And, we are totally gunning for them.
The other thing, too, is that in years past, when we get a win, you'd say, wow, he really was the difference maker. Or, you know, he did this. It was individuals. Where now it's hard to say.
You're struggling, aren't you? I mean,
this week was easy with Valesky because he was just such a monster.
But there were a lot of guys.
But there were four guys that everybody said, well, what about him?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, I can make a case for him too.
You know, the first game at home against Colorado Springs, we gave it on behalf of the team because we couldn't pick a guy.
Right. No.
And it's nice. I don't know how else to say it. I mean,
it wasn't a cop-out either. It was... You all were
no, but
very
good. It's a team of hard workers. It's a team that is working together. I don't know any other way to say it, but
oh no, there is a unity there that is special,
they all throw themselves into it.
When it's gone wrong in the past, we'll be the first to call out. You know, I mean, we've sat here, as you say, with Jeremy and put him to the sword almost. Yeah. But I mean, it looks, and I know we're only five games in, but it looks like it could happen this year for us. I mean, I'm not going to say that we're going to go and sweep the board or anything like that. I'm not that naive, but I think we're going to be very difficult to play against. And I think we've got the talent to make things happen in our favor. And that's if the team plays at 100%, which I believe they have done in the last five games, I think good things will happen. And there's no other way to say it.
And I tried to tell Jeremy, because I mean, obviously he's concerned about the ball not going in the back of the net, but it's going to happen. Like, I'm not worried about it. I mean, yes, I wish it was happening. I wish we would have scored five goals last Saturday. But I'm not panicked about where the goal's going to come from. I see where they're going to come from.
Yeah.
They just haven't come yet. Whereas last year, I was like, where the fuck are the goals going to come from?
Correct.
And it was funny, too, because, like, we had talked about prior with Corey putting the penalty and, okay, well, maybe that releases him. He's not gripping the stick. You know, that may get to that point at some point in time. But, you know, like Austin Martz is a great example. He had three really good chances, worked his ass off. It's going to fall.
Yeah.
Like,
and somebody, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter today. Somebody was responding to Martz and Fennelson's new column, the blog. And they were talking about things they practiced on, you know, before the San Antonio game. And somebody joked, maybe you should practice finishing. And I just said, the goal's going to come, and when it does, there's going to be a big party. And Jake just put goals, like S.
Yeah.
Like, it's not one.
Yeah.
Multiple are coming. You know, they know what's coming. They're not...
They have that confidence.
They're not panicked about it. They're not worried about it. I mean, yeah, obviously, they'd all like to have them in the bank already, but...
But in years past, and no slight against those teams, you know... Last year, okay, we see that guy score. We'd see that guy score. Okay, we know they're going to be the contributors. But this year, it's like there's six or seven guys.
Well, there's build up. With Irvin, it was the Irvin Herrera show.
Yeah.
Half of his goals were individual moments of him being him. There was never that link up. We'd rush it up the middle, and it would die in the middle. We'd put it to the outsides, and we couldn't get it in. There was never that.
How many times last year did we Angulo, say Valesky would have a ton of goals if somebody got him service?
Nobody got him the ball. And Angulo, how he took off when he went to Oklahoma City, because he was getting the ball.
Right.
So.
But we constantly, for 3 years, it felt like we were waiting for players to come back.
Right.
And this week, we had a couple of guys out.
We had like five guys out.
We had two forwards out.
Yeah.
Right? And our two center mids have been out. That's.
But you didn't worry about where the goals were coming from.
No.
Because you're like, okay, well, we've got Corey, Dequa, Dacus is on the bench. We got it covered. If Herrera went out.
Yeah, it was like.
It was, you know, hopefully Vince has got his shooting boots on, or hopefully Ambo is going to be right there. But I wasn't really concerned about the lineup. I don't feel like, even though Corey and Kyle were out, that we're just sitting there waiting for them to come back because otherwise we're going to be screwed.
We're waiting for Parklage. We were waiting for...
Oh, we were waiting for Parklage for 8 months.
But now it's like when you see who he's throwing out there, it's like it'll be Kadeem or it will be Joey or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, that's what he's doing this week. It's not like, oh my God, what's he doing? It's like, okay, he's going that way. you know what I mean? It's like, it's a choice rather than...
Like, when the lineup was announced, we weren't like, oh, mm-hmm. like, what's going on? It was like, okay.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it was so matter of fact. Right.
You know, when you've got a guy that can come in like Christian Valeski, I mean, he would be a starting forward on 90% of these teams.
Still could be a starting forward here.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what you mentioned earlier, pushing each other to that point where they're all better.
You know, if 6 inches, that ball goes in and he's made a case to start next week. So, but as you say, I mean, May is fast rolling up here and we're going to need all hands on deck with the Open Cup.
I can't wait for the Open Cup.
I love it. There's not a lower league soccer fan in America that doesn't love it.
If they don't know what it is, because it's and that is part of the problem. I think U.S. soccer needs to trumpet it a little more. I think they need to make more of it. I wish it would get coverage. I wish it would get streaming.
The trouble is with that. I mean, you got these guys like FC Denver. They can barely put a team on a plane to go.
No,
to.
I'm not blaming them.
No, but they're not going to invest in the streaming facilities.
That's what I'm saying. ESPN. I'm not blaming them. I'm saying U.S. soccer should be doing something to help these guys. Even if it literally is a guy with an iPhone doing a Periscope feed or something. You know what I mean? But that is what it is, and we will trumpet that when we get there. Let's talk about ESPN. ESPN Plus started this last weekend. We were obviously all at the game, but Mitch, you went back and watched it.
You know what? I was worried because ESPN doesn't necessarily... It's NBA. It's NFL.
Yeah.
You know, and with this whole product, you know, they're saying, oh, we're going to have this opportunity to bring you more.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, I've heard that before. The app isn't your normal app in terms of, you know, I have the streaming like Sling and those kind of things. And, you know,
it's not user friendly to navigate.
It's actually funny. I got the WWE app for WrestleMania this year cause it was free. And I found out
cause you're American.
And I found out the same engine or same company is doing the back end for both of them.
Yeah.
And it made sense because they both have that same layout. The coolest thing about it, and I'll say this across all boards, is that opportunity to watch games past. You can watch the previous NHL game. You can watch a previous MLB game. So you have more than just the sports they've touted.
Yeah.
There is a full range of sports.
All the 30 for 30 stuff's on there.
Oh, yeah, including a few unique to the Plus, the Bobby Knight one, which I look forward to watching because he's a disaster. But it's real cool. You set it up at the beginning. Who are your favorite teams? It'll change out the layout for that, you know, promote your teams.
But USL isn't on there.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just did it on my iPad. And I couldn't find USL on there.
So, but I went to the search, put in St. Louis, and before I was done with St. Louis, it came up with Blues, Cardinals, St. Louis FC. I think they were alphabetical even, you know, so it's just like bam, bam, bam. Selected St. Louis FC. Immediately, there's this past game. Here's the link for the next game. So, you know, in terms of people like us that know exactly what they want, it's going to be crazy easy.
And hopefully the fanciness around it will build out because we were talking about it. The hope is I'm on ESPN one night flipping through my MLS games and I see a USL game on and I'll just click over to that. So
there's two improvements that they have to make it good for USL. They have to put us in the dropdown.
Yeah.
USL is not in the dropdown. And they have to, the soccer aspect of it, they need to, I don't want to say they need equal footing to MLS, but you feel that there is a significant difference between the two, and I don't think that's the right approach. I think they need to be 1A, 1B instead of 1 and 4.
Well, like you would if you go on to an English soccer site. There's the Premier League, and then right underneath it is the Championship League.
Right, and there doesn't seem to be
It's not like it's a different sport, it's just... Yeah, 1A, 1B.
Right. So I think they need to take a page from the English League and really promote that as 1A, 1B.
You Euro snob, you.
But maybe they'll get there.
Got to go to the Amsterdam.
I made the mistake of logging on at 10:59 a.m. on Saturday morning looking for the Indy 11 game. And it was there. It just took me about 5 minutes to figure out what I was doing and what I was looking at. But I eventually found it. And once I got it streaming... really impressed with it. It was pretty crystal.
Yes, the quality, I think the actual, And obviously it's the same stream, but I think the actual bandwidth and compression is better through ESPN than YouTube.
Yeah, they're going to take that same raw data and make sure it gets to you as best as possible, whereas YouTube's just a free-for-all sometimes.
That was significantly, I know the guys at the club put a good amount into making sure we have a good production value. Yeah. I know that's something that they spent money on. Pat has told us that on this podcast.
Yeah.
but the you know, it looked like a top level, you know, the crystalness of it was top level. The announcers still suck.
Yeah.
But even the announcers, they came across as what they
are. I think just the few games that I've watched this year, I think the announcers have improved from last year.
The color,
I think it's going to take a while to get there.
The color guy on our game was really good because he made a point of it to, you could tell he did his research on St. Louis, the city, yeah, as well, that it wasn't just, oh, they have the Cardinals here. Like, he did some.
Yeah, last year I had a feeling there were a lot of people that, you know, okay, just turn on the game and I'll watch it and I'll talk about it.
Right.
And they hadn't done the work know.
And I got to feel these guys did the work this year.
So, yeah, I mean, all of that aspect of soccer is growing. I mean, the MLS guys used to be horrible, you know, because they would get a basketball guy in the off season of NBA to do an MLS, and it wouldn't work. Now we're creating soccer people that know soccer, and it's going to take a while, but it's getting better. Just an announcement on the ESPN Plus. It is on Roku now.
Yes.
So, you've got a Roku, it's on the Watch ESPN app, but you'll have to update
I just search for ESPN.
Okay.
And it gives you just the ESPN app.
Right.
It used to be Watch ESPN, and that's the same on iPad and iPhone.
It's all rolled into the same app now.
Right.
So don't be looking for ESPN Plus.
Right. You will not find it. You have to find the ESPN app. And at the top, there's a, you know, settings to log in. You log in, and ESPN Plus is one of the settings at the top that you can click on. So it makes it real easy.
And if it's not there, try to do a software update. Maybe your app just hasn't updated.
And you'll get all the LeBron James information you need, too.
There you go. It's on. We know it's on Amazon Fire. We know it's on Chromecast. Matt uses his Chromecast. Yep. It's on the iOS, your phones, your tablets. I have an older Apple TV. It will not work on that. It does work on the fourth gen Apple TV, but not any of the previous Apple TVs.
I think it's a RAM issue.
I think it's screw Brad. We might can buy a new piece of equipment issue.
Well, I went through the same thing with Rokus that I had to get the current gen Rokus for all the streaming apps.
So far, it's not on PlayStation or Xbox, but they have announced it is coming.
Okay. I thought somebody said it was
on
Xbox.
They've announced it's coming, but it's not just yet. So, pretty much all of your streaming devices should be able to get it. If not now, then soon.
When we have a bye week, we should all talk about our favorite soccer 30 for 30s.
Ooh. We could do that, yeah. Because there's a lot of good ones.
There's some belters out there.
Yeah, we should do that.
The other option is if it's the games are on KPLR, which most of them are.
Yeah, I think when I was looking through the list, the first non-KPLR game that we have to worry about on the road is a two-team in, like, the end of June or July.
Okay.
So, really, you're still on KPLR for the next 2 months.
Well, is the Swope game on KPLR?
I don't even know if the Swope game's on.
Honestly, I don't know because I was going, so I didn't consider it.
This weekend's Oklahoma game will definitely be on KPLR.
I'll tell you now, their camera angle is from the moon.
Yeah, it's way up there.
It's a hard watch.
But as always, we're going to have it on at Kirkwood Station, and we will have, for those games that it's not on KPLR, we will have a Chromecast or something set up at Kirkwood Station. So if you don't want to pay the $4.99 a month, then, you know, you can always come to Kirkwood Station.
I'll be there.
The other thing is, what was I going to say?
Don't know. See, Roku, Apple TV, Kirkwood Station.
Isn't it strange when we're not side pitching?
Yeah,
I know.
And the other thing is, if you sign up, I guess by Thursday, you get a free 30-day
trial. They will ask you for your credit card information for the
trial. So as soon as it's over, they will bill you unless you cancel it.
But that's every service.
Right. Get it now while it's free for a month. Try it out. Play with it. Get to know it. The great thing is you can watch all of the live games. YouTube is going to have archived games, but they're going to be on like an
it's like seven to ten delay. Yeah.
I will say, I believe some of the games, like the USL Games of the Week,
yeah,
they're going to be on ESPN3.
That's right.
Or there's a couple of them that are on ESPN News. Not us.
Not us.
But a couple of the other
USL games. They're not going to be broadcast on ESPN Plus if they're on ESPN3.
Yeah.
So
those are still free if you have a cable subscription to ESPN and you log in with that service.
Yeah.
But if you don't, then you're going to be wanting to, you know, come to Kirkwood Station.
Yeah.
So, yes, $5 a month is worse than free, but ultimately this is the way it's going.
And honestly, seeing, we may be the outlier, but seeing the quality, I'm perfectly okay with that. That I feel like I saw a better picture than I ever did on YouTube.
That and the fact that you get all the other stuff. So, like, I'm never going to pay $80 a month for MLS Live. I just won't do it. But now that I'm going to get it
for free
with my $4.99, I'll watch a few MLS games.
I watched a little bit of Colorado and Toronto too this weekend.
Yeah, I think this weekend the Fulham game was on the ESPN Plus, right?
I believe so.
I think so.
Because we had James Costin and Stewart, you know, they're big Fulham fans, and they had to use it to watch Fulham. So
yeah, I heard from them about Mitrovic many times this weekend.
Yeah.
But you got to be happy with life. 41 points. Got to be safe now.
And not only that, but did you see who we beat this weekend?
Arsenal.
Yeah, we did.
Well, Arsenal are resting players because they're going all out for the Europa. I mean, that's what you do.
No, that's what you got to do. But still.
I mean, I shouldn't be talking about the Premier League this week. I mean.
Yeah, no, that's the one thing I kind of wish ESPN Plus had so I could watch more Premier Newcastle League games because NBC screws me so bad.
Yeah, the NBC Sports. I'm not happy with how that goes, but you know what?
But they seem to every
you're like Arsenal. NBC, you get on TV.
NBC raised the bar from Fox, and now ESPN's raising the bar again. I mean, it's a rising tide and all that.
Yeah, they keep raising
the
bar.
But again, it goes back to this year. You know, I was the spoiled brat bitching that I didn't get all my Premier League games because I'd gotten spoiled by NBC Sports having them all.
Yeah,
and this year they're just doing what businesses do. And cut
we
back
gave
and
you
charge
a taste.
For it. I still get so much more soccer than I did 10 years ago.
God, remember when we'd all come over to like your house or my house or Tony's house?
Yeah.
And you had to have Fox Sports Plus or what was the
Fox Sports World.
Fox Sports World. And then there was the other one that had some of the games too.
Oh, the BN.
It wasn't BN, but it wasn't Satanta. Yeah. It was whoever.
Oh, Satanta. It was Satanta.
Was it? Okay. But you had to, you know, it was basically 15 extra bucks a month.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
I remember my parents got like the old big satellite dish, like the one
C-band.
That's the size of a car.
Yeah.
And it was like all my friends would come over because we could tune in and get Premier League games, you know.
But I watch more soccer here in the US than I did back home.
Yeah.
There's a rule in England that you can't broadcast soccer on TV from 3 to 5 p.m. on Saturdays. So like.
Why?
Because if you were to broadcast Arsenal versus Liverpool on a Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m., no one would go and watch Crewe. No one would go and watch Wolves.
Gotcha.
No one would go and watch Derby County.
That's cool. That's good.
And so, like, people here for, you know, the Red Army group will go to England to go to England. Then they'll text us and go, what channel's the United game on in England? I'm like,
It's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
They can't show it. It's illegal to show soccer. They could.
Well, it's kind of how like they would do here. They would do the NFL blackout rule, for example.
Right. If you didn't
they
sell
wanted,
X amount of seats.
Because they wanted people to go to those games. They didn't want them to sit at home and watch on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great. I think it's absolutely great. But as we're talking about all these things, now we're talking about $5 a month.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not that big a deal.
You know, I used to pay $15, $20 for these two channels. And, you know, you're talking about how you can't even watch it on certain time frames.
Mm-hmm.
We can watch anything, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous for $5. I mean, that's a beer. That's, you know, that's not even a meal at McDonald's anymore.
All right. Ready for questions?
Sure.
We got some questions. Cake with a J. He wants to know, okay, Swope Park details and will they play? We hope they will play.
Management told Rodrigo that absolutely they will have the game.
So We will give you as much information as we can. Starting with the next couple of days, we'll post a link for you to buy tickets for anybody who wants to go with us to Swope.
I don't care where they play. I just want to beat them.
That's right. Zach, if you could have any guest, dead or alive, cost is no object, who would you want to have on the podcast?
Ooh, does it have to be soccer related? No, or
whatever you
just
want.
Say anybody.
Zach don't give a shit.
I'm going to say JFK.
Really?
Yeah. Well, Ava was asking questions about JFK the other day because they're studying him at school.
I want ratings. Let's get Stormy Daniels on here.
But that's why I want JFK. Okay. All the shit that's happened with presidents over the past 20 years.
Oh, look.
JFK put Trump and Clinton to shame.
I'm no Trump fan, but JFK, he pulled some wool.
And Clinton. You know, between those two.
Oh, JFK was so much more of a dog.
Yeah.
In a world of Twitter, JFK never would have been elected.
Yeah. He never would have even gotten to the primaries.
The 24-hour news cycle would not have been kind to John F. Kennedy.
And I want to hear, you know, I want to hear all the stories. Yeah. I want to hear, you know, being on a U-boat. I want to hear
him and Sinatra tag teaming.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, soccer guest too. Okay. If you could have any all soccer right. guest to right. it,
Ted Westerveld.
Jesus, we could do that if you really wanted to do that. we could probably make that happen.
And Alexi Lalas.
Yeah,
on the same show.
On the same show.
That would be fun.
I think
we'd just sit back and let him go.
The problem is Ted, right? And I agree with a lot of stuff he does, but he's a very fundamentalist, as we discussed today. He doesn't do anything else. Like, I will advocate for change over here, but I do this. I do the podcast. Right. I support my local team. Blah blah. He does nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, he if he expanded his
horizons
a little bit away from the pro rail. And started doing a blog on Harpo's or FC Denver or something, you know, I think it'd be taken a lot more seriously.
Yeah, I think so.
Bradley?
How do you follow that one, Mitch? Give me your soccer guy.
The one guest that we really wanted that we could never get was Preki.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
But at this point, I don't want him.
Here's the thing. Yeah. And I was talking to someone about that, and they just turned to me and said, did you actually ever physically go up to him and invite him?
No, but we were pretty much warned off of it.
Yeah.
The front office basically said...
And that's why I turned to them and I said, well, we were given the impression that it would not have gone over.
We were basically... Before he was hired, we were basically told never to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, that was the reaction I got.
But he could have volunteered at any point.
Oh, absolutely.
But I was just playing devil's advocate there.
No, it wasn't
point raised.
Yeah. I would say... Like... If we're talking about like a soccer idol, I'd like to have on Thierry Henry. Just seems like he's just such the nice guy, and I could ask him questions forever because I'm an Arsenal fan, and you know, he's just like one of those guys that I like.
You know, I think it'd be good, Jeff Cameron.
Yeah, yeah. I think he would be a good guest.
I think it'd be
a Roy Keane for the same reasons.
Yeah,
I want you know, I think those are very outspoken guys that have.
They're kind of like. Sean, who
yes.
we just
yeah.
had,
yes.
they're not the cliche guy. They're not the politically correct answer guy. They'll tell you what they think.
And, yeah,
and
that's
it,
true.
I think it makes a better...
Roy Keane is up there for me, but without a question, I know who it is for me.
Giggs.
Chuck Blazer.
Chuck Blazer.
Chuck Blazer.
That would be funny.
First question. Tell me about the cat's apartment.
Tell me about the cats in Chuck Plaza.
That'd be pretty funny.
And you know, because in theory he would be out of the game. I want to know, what kind of shit did you really get into, dude?
I guess just for fun, that we could talk about soccer a little bit, I'd like to have Jim Jeffries on. I think he'd be hilarious.
Ooh, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that.
And he could talk a little about soccer.
Yeah,
same like Will Ferrell.
Yeah, Will Ferrell would be fun.
You know, you've got those kind of...
Oh, Drew Carey.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Drew could be good, too. Drew, I also... See, that's the other thing, too, because...
Now, if you have Drew Carey on... You just, Greg's get right out that window with his face pushed up against the glass trying to get in the whole time.
Furiously masturbating.
So speaking of masturbating, I used to know a stand-up comic back like 25 years ago, and this is when Drew had just gotten the show, the Drew Carey show, and he was pissed, the stand-up was. And Drew loves the strip clubs.
Yeah,
this is a
I've heard
pretty
well-documented stories,
thing. And, you know, he spends quite a fortune at the strip clubs. Evidently, Drew also had at the time a vast collection of VHS tapes. So that
because he could.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he could. Well, I mean, you're on the road all the time, you know.
Yeah, it's much easier to bring your porn with you now. You just have to have an iPad.
I like Trio a lot better.
I'm trying to think. That's one of those really good questions. Yeah.
I like Bono, but you all hate Bono, so.
No, I love Bono.
Oh, okay.
I could definitely say
Bird, are you the English guy that hates Bono? All the English seem to hate Bono.
Justin Hawkins from The Darkness.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Because he's a huge
The Gallagher fan. Brothers.
Oh.
Noel and Liam.
No, just Liam. I just want Liam.
Yeah, Liam would be fun.
Because they wouldn't do it together.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. If this is our dream. Right.
Talking about wouldn't do it together, Steve Cohen and Nick Geba.
That would be fun.
That's another one.
Because they hate each other.
That would
apparently.
Be fun. I would like to have Steve Cohen on.
Steve Cohen would be a good one.
And Kenny.
Again, getting you to talk about Ted, we could get Steve on. I mean, we're all friends with him on Facebook.
That was, I mean, really, when I came back to soccer, you know, after I had my kids and it was available on TV and I started watching it, that was a daily podcast that really kind of got me up to speed.
Yeah.
And taught me a lot.
And it wasn't just about the English league. It was about the German league.
Yeah. And it was just about the culture of the game and so many little things that they taught me, you know, and this is going back 15 years now, I guess. I don't know how long
it was. I was over the road. So it was 2008.
So yeah, 2008. So 10 years.
Yeah. I was at the Fed.
Listening to that, you know, early.
Remember, they had some great interviews. They had Graham Pohl on there. That was an absolutely superb interview. Martin Tyler was on there.
They'd get all kind of good people on.
Do you remember they had Robbie Savage on there?
Yeah. And they were like, the story about the changing room.
But taking a dump.
In the ref.
I had to go.
Yeah, he went into the referee's like little changing room in between the two teams and took a massive shit in the referees. And they got offended. They thought it was like some sort of comment on their ability. He's like, I just had to go. Destroyed the toilet.
Steve said, why you were at Birmingham, they were doing well and everything, and then you went to Blackburn. Why'd you go to Blackburn? And Robbie just went, they were willing to pay me 70 grand a week.
That was a good show. It would be fun to talk to those guys.
And there's a lot of guys from that era, too, that, you know, like you said, that was when we were getting back in. Yeah. So it's just, like, even like Mourinho from that era. Now I don't want to hear from him.
Yeah.
But when he was Chelsea Mourinho when he was just then. Over the top, you know, God, those were fun days.
Yeah. I don't know. Anybody else, Matt? Any other?
I mean, for shits and giggles, more people from the Petch era. I think that was good. I mean, the guys that really had to struggle to make a living in this league over here. That's the thing that I don't know about.
And we do still need to do the Steamers episode where we get Petch and some of those guys. Because they're all around here.
Got a lot of them on the hook that basically they've said they're in whenever we do it.
Yeah, and they do come to games. And you do, you know, meet these guys. And like, you look familiar. Oh, yeah.
I used to
cheer for you when I was a little kid. Around St. Louis.
I want to talk to Carl Rose and find out why he abandoned us at the banquet.
Exactly.
I'd like to talk to Werner Fricker.
Yeah, who's that?
He was the U.S. soccer president that tried to get a league up and running before MLS came along.
That'd be good.
They kiboshed his idea and went with MLS instead.
That'd be a good
idea. That would be. How would he have done things differently kind of thing?
Yeah, that'd be really good. Damn, we got to get famous.
Damn. Michael,
but he's dead, so we can't.
Yeah. Well, Zach said, living or dead. So, one of us can become a spiritualist. We can talk to the dead. Michael Decker, biggest surprise player of the season?
It's got to be Lewis for me.
I think Lewis, because we didn't expect him to play as much, and he's been a pretty much solid starter all the way. I'm going to go with Jake.
Yeah.
Jake at the back. We all know that Thomas was coming in here number one, and Jake's got his chance. And, you know, you can point a couple of fingers at a couple of goals he's let in. But other than that, he's been really solid. He's taken the opportunity that's come his way, and he's been keeping us in games.
I'm going to say Austin Martz because, honestly, and when all this was starting to happen, when we found out about Pulis, and I was looking at some of the Orlando players that had been let go, and Jeremy kind of told me before we announced Austin Martz, we're going to do a couple Orlando guys. Austin's probably one of those guys. And I was like, I knew nothing about him.
Yeah.
I really didn't have any expectations. And even when we interviewed him on the podcast, he was like, well, I'm a speedy player. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, I've been surprised at how good he is and how useful he is out on the pitch.
A couple of players like that. I put Kyle Culbertson in that.
Yes.
In that bracket.
Didn't know much about him.
But he's a baller.
And then Michael Decker's second question was, how will Ant split time when Gomez is back? You think Jake is making his case, or do you think Gomez will be, or do you think we will have a rotation or a shared system?
I've got no inside information here. Thomas is the number one.
I agree. But
2-time, you know, Golden Glove winner in the league. They brought him in to be the starter.
But it's nice that if they need to give Thomas a break just to get his focus back.
Well, with the Open Cup, you're going to have a lot of those runs of 2 and 3 games and, you know, 2-3 games in 2 weeks or whatever the case may be.
I would be kind of shocked if Gomez doesn't take that starting job when he's ready.
But the other thing,
and that's no slight to Jake.
No,
it's just
at all. I think he
Gomez
understands
is
the situation
that
too.
Guy.
Well, it's no different than in Atlanta right now with Alec Kahn backing up
Guzan. Yeah.
I mean, Alec Kahn had a great season. He's a good goalie. You're not going anywhere,
right? So, but that said, if he falters at all, Jake is putting up decent.
He's
time.
Holding
Jake's,
his own.
Jake's making every. Opportunity. Yeah, he's
making the most of every opportunity.
That's what I'm looking for. Thanks, Mitch.
You got babies. Well, I'll help you out, man. I'll coach you up.
Steve Smith wants to know about a USL stadium in the city. He's talking about all the stuff that comes with that, the location and things to do after the game. And we've talked about it on several podcasts. I don't know if it'll be downtown. Just because finding the land and the expense of the land.
We've got to fill the park before any of this
is
on the table.
But I think they've done the groundwork. They've gone out and looked at some of the other stadiums that have popped up, the modular stadiums or whatever, mm-hmm. and how they can become full-time permanent stadiums. I think if something were to happen, you know, knock on every piece of wood within arm's distance, if the park flooded again, that's another $1 million. That would have been $3 million they've put into it. I think at that point they start looking, and I don't know that it would be downtown. It might be, you know, Creve Coeur. It might be Maryland Heights. It might be, I mean, obviously we would all love it centrally located downtown with good restaurants and bars next to it and, you know, perfect amount of parking and all these magical things that you can't get all of them at the same time. But I would not be surprised if they start making plans and announce them in a couple of years that there is a long-term plan for a stadium elsewhere.
I think the USL is a good, stable league now. I think it's going places. I think it's got ambitions of its own. And I think once other people start realizing that, then they may be willing to help with the finding a place for us to play. You know,
it'd be interesting to see Louisville's new 10,000 seat stadium because I think that is the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need it yet, but that would probably be the goal.
But I think just that alone, Louisville winning the championship, it was massive enough. But I think the buzz that new stadium will create will give them another push.
Yeah.
And I think if all of a sudden, let's say in a perfect world tomorrow, we decided to build a new stadium in Maplewood, say.
Yeah.
I think the publicity would be astronomical and you know, it would just
and
start snowballing.
And all the new stadiums that are being built are in that 10,000 seat range.
That's all they need.
And I do think that is the ultimate goal.
Well, and you look at, you know, potential of Cincinnati going to MLS, and you look at these bigger clubs that are, you know, going to MLS, you can establish a strong foothold in USL.
They're going to Bundesliga.
Football.
Fucking shit.
So Steve, we actually talked about it a little bit last week with Jeremy that they're looking at it. They know that's coming, and especially if there is another flood and they have to put more money into it. I think they just realize they can't have to rebuild the park every 2 years. Last question.
Put it in the county.
Yeah, last question. Three-parter. Mike Teller, one, thought the ESPN commentators were okay this week.
Fair statement.
Yeah, but as we mentioned earlier, it's not the ESPN commentators. It's still the USL crew. It's USL Productions doing it. So, yes, but I think overall they are getting better.
We'd be better.
Number two, we would be. Number two, is STLFC good or is Galaxy bad? What happened out there?
Yes.
I think more St. Louis FC was good. I don't think Galaxy was bad.
The thing is, watching the game, you see some of these individuals on the Galaxy are really, really freaking good.
Yeah.
And they're there for a reason. Appiah is having a great season out there.
Appiah was as much of a pain in the ass the other night as that's why I loved him when he played for us. I mean, just very active in there. And
last week, I said it was a must-win game. I said that we should beat them, blah, blah, blah. And then I went home from here and watched them play Phoenix. And from what I saw, was for most of the first half, I went, oh,
yeah,
LA aren't bad. So I was actually kind of worried. In a perfect world, we should have won that game 4-0.
Yeah. And I think we did everything to get that 4-0, except
I'm fine with what we got. I'm fine with the 1-0 win. I'm fine with 7 points from 9 at home.
Yeah.
Long may it continue. I don't give a shit if we win every game 1-0.
Yep. All right, and this is...
One thing about that, though, is that the man with too much time on his hands, Stuart Holgren, did send me information the other day, and it's incredibly interesting. We always say, oh, as the season goes on, the two teams get better. And evidently, statistically, that's not accurate.
Yeah, because Toronto 2 hold them back.
No, he even took them out.
Nobody counts Toronto 2.
He actually took Toronto and Red Bull out of the equation, grading on the curve, so to speak.
It's like throughout the Russian and the French judges the Olympics.
Yeah, but it was interesting that almost everyone except for like two teams got much better in the second half. So that
you mean got worse? Because we say they get better.
Yes, sorry, I said that pass backwards. But yeah, so, you know.
Maybe it was us that got worse in the second half.
That's the exact thing I said to Mitch. Maybe we were just getting worse.
And so I think that's what's going on. So we used to say, LA's going to be better at the end of the year. We have to take these points now.
No, we had to take them because we were getting worse.
Yeah, but statistically now we know they're not getting worse. We were. So taking points from this team that is going to get better as the season goes on, even more important.
And Mike Teller's last question. This is the last question we have of the night. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not at all and 10 being completely, is it back on?
I'm gonna go with 7.
I'm just gonna say 5.
Yeah, I'll go with 5. Because we're actually not in a playoff spot.
No,
we're just outside right now.
But we're playing all right.
7 points from 9 at home.
That's
good.
That's why I'm saying I'm giving it a 7.
Yeah.
7 out of 9.
After Swope, we'll be in a better position to answer that question. Because if we can go on the road for the next two games, and let's say we come back with 4 points.
Yeah.
Or even 3.
If we come back with 3, I think that's a good road trip.
I agree.
But 4 would – 6 would be amazing. 4 would be optimal.
2 would be standard.
I'd rather win 1 and lose 1 than draw them both.
Yeah. Well, no, I would too, but
– no, it's not back on yet. No, we're outside the playoffs.
Yeah, I think
still early.
Not only do we have to be over that line, but we have to be
where
we can lose a game and still be over that line. Like I mentioned it on Twitter, the USL power rankings. We're in 1 week, we're out 1 week. We're in 1 week, we're out 1 week. I want to be 3 or 4 spots up where we can have a bad week and we don't drop out of the power rankings.
Yeah,
I agree, but I still feel 7 out of 9 at home.
That's brilliant. And as I said, I very comfortable with what I've seen at home.
I'm not pessimistic. I don't think 5 is a pessimistic answer. I think it's, we're doing our business.
But I don't want that the 5 to be a reflection of what I've seen. It's 5 is a reflection on how bad we've been the last couple of seasons. It's not a reflection on what I've seen from the lads right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really impressed. If you're listening, long may it continue. We're with you all the way. Blah, 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 rah, 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 go team.
So British. Long may it continue.
I'm educated.
All right, that's all we got for questions, guys. Anything else?
No.
No. Watch party, Saturday night, Kirkwood Station. You know the drill. It's a good time.
Bring bring balls to the 5-5 game or go to the Amazon wish list and order one.
Yeah. I did already. You know, the charity work is just superb, guys. It's winning football. Enjoy it.
It's amazing how everybody changes with winning football.
Yeah.
Like, the corner is happier.
And I, for the first time in a long time, I have faith that this team can go on the road and do something.
Yeah.
We might actually see a win on the road. I've never seen that.
I think we're going to make the playoffs this year.
I'm fairly confident we will. I'm above.
Here's the thing, right? If we don't, I still think we're on a long-term trajectory.
I very much appreciate what Ant's doing, and yes. I like what he's doing.
And
so, if we don't make the playoffs.
Rome wasn't built in a day. I think what happened last year was a massive setback team-wise.
Yeah.
It may take a while to recover. But even if we don't make the playoffs this year, even if we don't.
I've seen enough this year.
To give me hope going forward long term.
Right.
And I think the other part about it, too, is that the West has been a better conference for us to be in, because I think there's a wider disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And I think that's going to be better for us come back here.
I think you can play a little more in the West than in the East. There's a lot of beat up. You know, grind it out,
physicals.
Slug it out. I think in the West, they'll let us play a little bit more. And I think we've got players
we got a lot of players from the East.
Yeah.
They're going to have a chance to put their foot on the ball and spray it about in the West. And I think they may be better for it.
And they're tougher because they come from that East that, you know, Sean Reynolds, you know, do not cross him.
Oh, I'll follow that. I'll follow Sean through a wall.
The same with Tony Walls. You know, these are tough
Eastern
Conference guys that I think will enjoy the West.
So's Corey.
Yeah.
So's Deke Lewis. Barden.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a list of them. It's built.
So, but like you say, I think they'll like the extra half second they get to play with it a little bit.
You know, and I'm really, really happy with what I've been seeing.
Yep.
Feels good.
I like it.
See ya. I know it seems funny trying to understand. Some things don't always go the way you plan. So you keep it up. So you keep it up. Nothing in the world's gonna keep me down. I'm just a holding out, just a hanging around, trying to keep it up. Though the rain weighs down your wings, still the paper's got the same thing.
Dickhead.